Tuesday, right? It's Tuesday?
Yeah, today's Tuesday, yeah. You nailed it. You get it right a lot more often than not.
Yeah, but I doubt myself, and that, you know, I shouldn't, because I usually am right about the day of the week. That's about the only thing I'm right on.
You know what, though? You have a very authoritative quality to your voice, so if you, like, whatever day you say it is, people will go, well, Wendy says it's that day. It must be that day.
All right, let's try it again. Friday. Oh. We're off tomorrow.
Oh, the weekend all of a sudden.
Can't believe it.
How about that? You're much like, you know how in the old days your network news people were the most trusted people in America?
Mm-hmm.
You know, Walter Cronkite, there was a time when people said if Walter Cronkite ran for president, he would win hands down because we trust Walter Cronkite. I think you're the Walter Cronkite of the 2018.
Please,
you don't think
people
so?
People do not trust me.
No.
Although I really don't lie anymore.
Now, is that a lie?
Mm-mm.
You stopped lying?
I mean,
smoking and lying?
Yeah, I really only lied when I was in high school sometimes about, you know, what I was up to. And it was never really anything bad. It just might not have been exactly where I said I was. That's the only time I lied.
Most people, like, on a daily basis, you do these little white lies throughout the day. People
I never
go, how
do.
You doing? I'm doing fine, even if you're not. You're the opposite of that.
You got a chair? Sit down. I'll tell you what's going on.
I've noticed that about you.
I don't lie. I don't lie because you can't trust a liar.
Yeah. And it's hard to keep track. If you lie, it's hard to keep track. You have to remember the lies.
Yeah.
I told you my parents, when I was a little kid, they'd always say the only thing that could ever make us stop loving you is if you lied.
They said that?
That was it. Yeah.
And that's now, a lie, because and, they well, would never
no,
they stop loving
no,
you.
No, they did. They stopped loving me.
What'd you lie about?
They sent me a card. My mom made some chicken dish that wasn't very good, and I said it was good, and they go, that was a test. And they stopped loving me.
Did she think it was good? Because she knew it was bad, right?
They purposely made it bad just to test me and if I'd lie or not.
Can I just tell you something?
Yeah.
You got to write a sitcom, because the trials and tribulations of your family, seriously, I mean, it's so out there.
Yeah. It's
like the Twilight Zone meets Leave It to Beaver.
That's it. It was incredibly normal, but then when I step back, I go, or was it? It seemed normal, and we were very everybody in my family very happy.
I'm not saying dysfunctional.
No, we were not dysfunctional in any way, shape, or form.
Of course not, even though every other family in the entire world is, but not the less.
We were not, though.
But you were peculiar.
Well, yeah, there's a lot of things we did, like having two dinners a night. We've talked about that.
For how long of a period did that happen?
Almost my whole childhood.
And it was like not. I know sometimes you said your mom would run out and get like a fast food for the first dinner.
Once a week, we'd usually get McDonald's or something. That was our 7 o'clock sitting. And then when my dad came home at 10, we would have a second dinner. And that it was almost all the time.
Because Jimmy Mack's dad used to work late too. So they used to eat dinner at like 9 o'clock, I think.
Yeah.
When he was growing up, and I'm like appalled because it was like 5:30 or 6 o'clock every night. That's dinner time.
Most people are like that. Yeah.
And I couldn't believe he had dinner at 9 or 9:30 sometimes. That's when they'd have dinner and then do homework and go to bed.
Right.
But you, the Lefts, had. So your mom would cook two separate things. It wasn't like she would make a pan of lasagna and you'd have part of it at 7 and then the rest of it at 9?
Sometimes it was the same, but usually it was a different meal.
Was she constantly cooking?
No.
Because she taught
times,
dance. How did she even do this? Did she hire someone to come in and cook for her?
No, you know what she would do a lot of times? Like, my mom used to make this thing, and I've not had it since my mom died. I don't know if people will even know what these are. Did you ever have something called a stromboli sandwich?
I've heard of it.
I don't know what it is. So sometimes my mom would make something like stromboli sandwiches, or open-faced hamburgers was another thing she made, which was like a hamburger without a... I don't know why she wouldn't put the top bun on.
Because she was ahead of the curve, and she knew carbs would
maybe
make
that's
you
what it was.
Put on pounds.
Maybe that's
so
what it was.
So you used a fork and knife to cut it, right?
Yeah, yeah. So a lot of times she would make a certain food, and she'd make like 30 times more than we would need. And then we had a regular freezer, like you know how you have that refrigerator-freezer combination? And then downstairs we had a freezer that was much like the one on The Sopranos. When they would store a dead body, they'd put it in that giant freezer at the Bada Bing. So that's my. We had
Wasn't
one of those.
Wasn't that at the sausage place?
Oh, yeah. I can't think that's of the, what. I think it was at the sausage place.
Darn
that's
it,
what
it was. I can't think of the name.
Where Uncle Junior worked.
Satriales.
Yeah.
God.
Oh, very nice.
Thank you.
Jasmine, no prizes?
Satriales,
no prizes.
Meat markets. Yeah, okay. I am very proud of myself.
That sounds right. Yeah. Very nice.
Yeah, so you had the giant freezer that would hold the excess.
Would hold a bunch, yeah. And then, so when it was dinner time the first time around, we would just heat up things. Because a lot of times she was working. She was a dance teacher, and so she...
God, I have no excuse for not making dinner.
Mm-mm. You should be making dinner.
Jeez.
Or Jimmy. One of you.
Did your dad cook?
Every once in a while.
Jim's good at breakfasts. He makes pretty good eggs and omelets and things of that ilk.
Why is it, like, a lot of times if dads aren't active in the dinner preparation, they excel at breakfasts, I've noticed. Why is that?
I don't know.
It's still cooking. You would think if you're gonna learn it, learn all of it. My dad made a couple of things, but it was almost always my mom. Two a night. So that would certainly be part of it. Some of the decorating was a little iffy, like the shag carpeting on the walls. We've talked about that. The fact that I'm of two different religions at a time when nobody was doing that.
Yeah, that's true.
Right.
So did you celebrate Hanukkah and Christmas?
Everything. Yeah.
Did you go to church and temple?
We didn't go to temple often.
Your dad went by himself or he didn't go?
He didn't go. Sometimes Shirley Temple would come over. And that was fun.
You know what? I believe
dance.
It because your mom's a dance teacher, right. And that can be written into the sitcom.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding. When I think about it, you just said that your mom made an intentionally bad chicken dish
to test you
to see if you were lying. And when you said, oh, it's good, Mom, which is what a mom would want her sweet son to say after toiling away in the kitchen.
Right.
But no, she set you up, and then she stopped loving you because you lied about the bad chicken.
Yeah. That's how the episode would end.
By the way, I had to look up what a stromboli is.
Yeah, well, it sounds good, doesn't it? Tell everybody what's in it. It was pretty good.
It's a type of turnover filled with various cheeses and cold cuts or vegetables. The dough used is either Italian bread dough or pizza dough.
Right.
It's like a homemade pizza puff type thing.
Yeah, that's how it was. So we'd have those sometimes.
Or a panzerotti.
Oh, I don't think we ever had a Panzerotti. That's a sports car. I'd remember that. If they gave us
a calzone is what I'm thinking. That's what it is.
Oh,
did it have lunch meat in it or meltable goodness?
There were different things within it depending on what she bought. Sometimes it was ground beef. I'm trying to think of what else it was.
Did she write these recipes down anywhere?
Oh, that's a good question. I've not had one since she died. It's been a long time since I've had one. Sometimes we'd have fondue, which was that was pretty cool, right?
I enjoyed
that.
This is sitcom because I mean,
I don't know any other kid. Like I'd tell, like you know how your friends you talk about what you had, so I'd go fondue, and everyone would just stare at me, and they go, "Where do you live, France?" And I go, "No."
Was it just the Welsh rarebit?
It was like a ginger beef. It was really good.
My God.
Isn't that good? Yeah, that was really good.
I would like your mom's cookbook. I'm not even kidding.
I think she took it with her. I think she's gone and she took her cookbook with her, I think.
I could change recipes. I just need ideas. It's like your mom, ideas was her middle name.
Yeah, it was.
Stromboli. Fondue.
Very continental.
No manwich for the left house.
Right.
No, we're doing it up. We've got ginger beef.
But then on that one night a week, it was McDonald's.
Well,
so,
God.
To balance things off, I guess.
She needed a break.
I think that's what it was. But now I have married a woman who does not...
be careful, okay?
Terry does not enjoy cooking.
Right, that was good.
And we're all okay with that. That's fine.
So now you get McDonald's and other things every night.
No, she would. No, it's never McDonald's. She, like, we've been together forever, and I could count on my hand how many times we've eaten in a fast food. That's not for her. She just won't do it. And she gets mad at me. Like, there's a Culver's near me now, and every once in a while,
I'll stop and get a Butterburger.
I'll bring them home, and she looks at me like I've cheated on her. She won't eat
a Butterburger if you bring it home?
No. She's been in one with me
And watch as you eat?
No, she's had, like, when we took Reese to Dayton, University of Dayton, on the way back, there was one, and we ate there, and she enjoyed it. But
why, like, did she say yes? Like, I know you went, oh, there's a Culver's. Can we go? Can we go? Can we go?
It's because we were, like, in the middle of, like, Ohio.
Not a lot
there
of
was
choices.
Nothing around, and it was, like, for her, it was desperation. For me, it was nirvana.
Yeah, I love Culver's, man.
It was like a vision as we come over the horizon, and there it is. I'm like,
blue and white.
Oh, there were angelic voices and trumpets, and I'm like, look at it. Our prayers have been answered. And she just rolled her eyes. If we have to. But it's not just Culver's. Like, it's Wendy's or Burger King or Subway.
Culver's
or
is a step above those. I love the other ones. I really do, and they all serve a purpose. But Culver's is, of the fast food chains, that's a quality burger. That is a tasty burger.
One day last week when our show was over, on my way home, I've not had White Castle in years. It's been a couple of years. And I was at an intersection in Andersonville, and there's one that I used to go to when I did the late night show here. Once or twice a week, I'd come in, I'd bring to work, you know, four or five White Castles. Four, that's my limit now. So I stopped on my way home and I got White Castles, and I had to throw the White Castle garbage away before I got home because she'd call me out on it.
I know. I've
what
done
are you
that.
Doing? White Castle. No. You know, that would not have gone over well.
And I know probably the day you did it, when I talked about using my senior discount for the first time, it was at White Castle. It was the first time I ever used
it. No, it was not that day.
Oh, okay. Because I could see where it would be in the back of your head then.
No, every day when I pass it, I say to myself, that'd be a pretty good lunch, but then, you know how, like, in cartoons, they get, like, there's, like, an angel and a devil
right
above their heads, and they're fighting it out. I see my wife going, you had so many options, and you went with White Castle, but I...
But they're, you like them, and I mean...
I like them a lot.
All things in moderation. White Castle's not going to hurt you if you do it, you know, once in a while.
Right.
If you do it every day, which you did as a kid, that's another thing that goes in your sitcom.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess so.
You're a kid. All these stories you tell...
Yeah,
I believe you, but it's just really out there.
I know, but you know how when you grow up with a certain reality, like to me, nothing that happened when I was growing up was amazing. But when I look back on it, I go,
pretty amazing.
Wow, that was interesting.
You had jars of candy sitting on
it
your
was
counter,
like Willy Wonka's chocolate factory in our kitchen. It really was. There was every kind of candy snack you could ever imagine was in a plastic container. They were just, the wall was lined with them.
Like, what was she thinking?
I don't know.
Did she eat a lot of candy? Was that something that she wanted? Did she tap into it?
A share of candy, but it was more like she'd go, you guys like Fizz Whiz, right? And we'd go, yeah, we like Fizz Whiz. And then she'd point, and there was like a container filled with Fizz Whiz.
Was she the best mom ever?
Either the best or the worst.
Or the worst. Yeah, I guess
I don't
maybe.
Know. I don't know. Well, I told you, like, on several occasions, all right, there used to be a candy, and maybe they still make it, called Lick-A-Made, which was just, it was just sugar. It was just flavored sugar, and you'd stick a stick in it, and then you'd
like
eat
it. Like a pixie stick.
Yeah.
It was just... Yeah.
There were a bunch of candies that were just
sugar with some tart flavor flavorings mixed into the sugar. But yeah, it was just sugar.
But they wouldn't even disguise the fact, like a lot of candy, you know, there's sugar in it, but it doesn't look like sugar.
Right.
You go, look, it's shaped like what you know, whatever you want it to be. It's shaped like a little, like a bear. It tastes good. But with those candies, they're shaped like sugar. They smell like they're sugar, right?
That's sugar.
They're not kidding.
You pour it out, it looks like sugar.
No one's being fooled. All right, so sometimes, like, if we'd run out of Lick-A-Made or Pixie Sticks, she would just say, she'd go, well, you know, we've got Weiler's. And
wait, she's the one who suggested that?
Yeah. So we would fill, my brother and I would fill a Dixie Riddle cup with Weiler's, and we'd take a straw, the Weiler's drink mix, and we would just... suck on that.
You'd lick the straw and stick it in there like that thing, or
well,
no?
you would just inhale it. You would just
you didn't cough.
And it was such a sugar rush. And then you know, all of a sudden, my brother and I were walking to DeKalb and back. We go, we'll be right back. We're gonna see how long it takes us to walk to DeKalb.
Margie, that's the name of your sitcom.
I know.
I don't get it.
Yeah, it's kind of surprising, right?
I mean, didn't all of your friends want to hang out?
It was like, there was never a time where it was just the four of us. There were always kids at the house because...
See, there's always that house that you want to hang at because the parents let you drink and smoke at that house. But not
ours was like a Candyland version of that. We were like the Candyland version of that house. No, there were always, my brother had tons of friends over, I had tons of friends over.
Was it a big house?
Not an average sized house, you know.
What'd you guys do? Just eat candy?
Just moved candy from room to room. It was like a sweatshop of candy.
Really, I'm telling you, at least write a book.
I could.
I mean,
a scratch and sniff book.
With the sour that
smells like
the
candy
carpeting
taffy
on the walls.
Yeah. Yeah, it would all be shapes and textures and things. It'd be fun. I'm not complaining.
No, you nor should you.
I loved it. It was fantastic.
But and it's not that it's abnormal, but let's just say it's non-traditional.
Right. No, I would agree with that. It's not traditional. But you know how there's like a bunch of things that you experienced as a kid, and you just said to yourself, well, probably, this is probably how it is. And then when you're older, you go, it was really different for our family than for others.
Yeah, but yours was all good. Mine was when I got tied to the sandbox. I'm like, right. What other family did that to their kid?
No one did that to their kids.
With a family of six or seven kids in the yard behind you all playing, going,
why?
You want to play? No, I'm tied to the sandbox. My mom will let me go in a little while.
There were no apologies for that?
No, it's because we lived near a park, and I would just wander over to the park without asking, so she thought she'd teach me a lesson.
So she tied you to the sandbox.
I mean, I had room to kind of
move. Did that happen more than once?
I think just once. I don't remember. I blocked it out.
My mom told us to come over and throw candy at you. See that girl over there who's tied to the sandbox? Throw jujubes at her and see what happens.
But I couldn't catch it because my hands were tied.
Right.
So it was torture.
It is torture. All right, a quick break, some news, and then you know who's coming by, Wendy?
I do.
Rich Lankoff is coming by. We'll talk about the law, and if it's good or bad, and if we can sue our parents for giving us too much candy and tying us to the sandbox. That's coming up next. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Judy,
yes,
thanks so much.
Why can't we be friends?
That's a good question, Wendy.
Ooh, ooh, ooh.
Rich Lankoff is here. He'll answer that or any other legal questions that you have. He's an attorney over at LeBrice, Downey, and Lankoff, LLC. If people want to follow you on the Twitter, they can do that, right?
They sure can. We love the Twitter.
What if they want to follow you on the street?
Is that all right?
They cannot do that.
That's
I've got several injunctive orders against that.
That's where you draw the line.
Pink eye? Yeah,
certainly.
That's conjunctivitis.
No. Yeah, that would be a whole different
Rich, thing. Many of the stories that we wanted to discuss with you center around former FBI Director Andrew McCabe. Which direction do you want to start out with this?
There's a lot to unwrap. I mean, McCabe was fired last week, as we all know.
A day or two short of his pension.
Yeah, 2 days before his pension by Jeff Sessions.
Was that, do you think, because I know people have gone back and forth, I think they knew full well that
it was
intentional.
The case.
It was intentional, wasn't it?
For sure. I mean, listen, Trump has been vocal, obviously, over the last few months in calling for McCabe's termination. He has said that he was politically motivated. He said he was part of the Comey cabal in the FBI. He said that it's part of the FBI's attempts to obstruct justice. So wait,
he was asking for him to resign, and Trump, he didn't want to resign, so then he was fired.
Trump has tweeted openly for several months, not just last week, about the need to terminate McCabe. In fact,
remember,
he mocked his wife. His wife had run for Senate and lost, and he openly mocked his wife. So Trump has been out to get McCabe for a long time and has made no bones about it. Many people are looking at the termination last week as Jeff Sessions' attempt to get back in the good graces of Trump to try to save his job. As we all know, Trump has been vocal in his criticism of Sessions as well. So by firing McCabe, many look at Sessions as trying to curry favor with the president.
He's still in trouble, I'm sure.
Well, for sure. But, you know, a really interesting legal aspect of this that we're going to cover on our show, Legal Face-Off, this week is whether Sessions violated his agreement to recuse himself from the investigation into alleged corruption and collusion with the Russians by the Trump campaign by firing McCabe. Technically, the McCabe misconduct, if you believe the Inspector General's report, which, by the way, hasn't been released yet. You know, that's why a lot of people are unhappy, because allegedly this report by the Justice Department's Inspector General finds that McCabe lied and was not forthcoming with them in their investigation and also leaked information. That technically deals with an investigation into the Clinton Foundation. But in his confirmation hearing, Jeff Sessions was asked by Chuck Grassley, the senator from Iowa, whether you would recuse yourself for any investigation into not only the Trump campaign, but also into any dealings with the Clinton campaign and the Clinton Foundation. And Sessions said yes, he would recuse himself. Well, guess what? He didn't in this aspect. He fired this FBI person,
McKay, the director.
And, you know, so a lot of people are saying that Sessions violated his agreement to recuse himself.
Yeah.
And that was quite inappropriate.
Yeah.
Is Donald Trump going to fire everyone? And it seems, can he do, I mean, I guess he can, and
he can't fire Mike Pence, but he can fire almost anybody except for Mike Pence, right?
Paul Ryan?
Well, he really can't fire Mueller, right?
Oh, he can't.
He can't, because that's what everybody
is talking about now. You know, he's making a lot of noise that he will. In fact, over the weekend, for the first time, he actually mentioned Mueller by name.
And said he wasn't going to fire him, despite reports. That's what I thought
I
read.
Well, he, you know, called into question the Mueller team, because he said it's packed with Democrats, which, by the way, Mueller is a registered Republican.
Yeah.
He was appointed by the Trump administration, remember,
yeah,
right? It was Trump's deputy AG who hired Mueller. So he hasn't called for it, but he's making, you know, this is the run-up to firing Mueller. We've seen this over and over again in Trump's dealing with personnel. He'll talk about it, and then he'll ultimately fire them. We saw that with Rex Tillerson. We've seen that with lots of people. So whether he has the constitutional right to fire Mueller, most people think not. But it looks like he's going that way. Just, you know, yesterday he hired a new attorney who openly said that the FBI is engaged in an attempt to frame Trump.
Donald Trump said this?
His new lawyer did.
His new lawyer has said that.
Trump is being very aggressive in his, criticism of Mueller, as he has been. Completely inappropriate. I mean,
isn't
Republicans,
this going to make
Democrats,
Mueller like totally dig deeper and find something better?
Well, you would think so. I mean, Mueller, by all accounts, is a pretty straight shooter, and I don't think he will be swayed by the pressure that Trump is putting on him. On the other hand, you know, last week, the House congressional investigation wrapped up, and they found that there was no collusion. There was no corruption in any regard by the Trump campaign. Now, it should be noted that they did not interview several of the key people. They didn't interview Steve Bannon, for example. They didn't interview Michael Flynn, all of whom have been interviewed by Mueller. So, you know, Trump was emboldened by the results of that investigation. He said this just shows that there's no, you know, collusion. Well, that's like sort of saying, you know, a car runs without wheels. The key people who are the witnesses to the alleged corruption weren't even interviewed by the House committee. So Trump is definitely emboldened by that. I think there's a pretty good chance he's going to attempt to fire Mueller.
But he can't?
Constitutionally, he can't.
So if he does, who sues?
We've got a constitutional crisis. I mean, that's why.
Oh, my God.
That's why, you know, many people, including Lindsey Graham last week and over again, has said that if he fires Mueller, that will be the beginning of the end of the Trump presidency. I mean, across the board, Democrats and Republicans have said that it would be a huge error for Trump to order or to fire Mueller. Again, it would be a constitutional crisis, the likes of which we've never seen. I mean, listen, Mueller.
But does that, all right, let's say that it does, and I have no reason to believe otherwise, but it would be a constitutional crisis. Is that like having a rainout in a baseball game? Is it all of our hands are tied now because we don't know what to do at this point? What does that do? It's unprecedented.
Well, many Democrats have already called for Trump's impeachment over these issues, right?
Yeah.
So if Trump did cause Mueller to be fired, you would, I think, fairly quickly see a lot of Republicans jump on the impeachment bandwagon. And remember, we've got elections coming up, you know, soon,
right?
In November. And by most accounts, the Democrats are going to take over you know, the House and possibly the Senate. If that's the case, you're going to see calls for impeachment, you know, really quickly, and they might have the numbers to do that. So that's getting a little bit ahead of ourselves.
Yeah.
And I don't think that Trump will fire Mueller. You know, I think that despite
what he's... You really don't?
Hard to say. I mean, despite what he said over the weekend, in which he was aggressively and using for the first time Mueller's name, I think that he will come to his senses and realize that if he does nothing, there's probably not a lot of strong evidence of collusion, right? If there was, we probably would have seen it. Now, is there evidence of obstruction of justice? I think that's where the real danger lies.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of examples. I mean, the Lester Holt interview that Trump gave, in which he explained that he fired Comey to end the Russia investigation.
That says
there's
it all.
There's at least an equal number of people out there who think that that, in and of itself, is obstruction than don't. So I think they're going to find some examples of obstruction. The question ultimately, I mean, I think, Wendy, to your point, is what does it all mean? You know, this is all going to come down to, I think, the court of public opinion. And as I've said before on this show and on our show, for most people, for Trump's base, this is going to be nothing. I think people aren't really caring about this. I think they're looking at Trump as, we elected this guy to shake things up, and we elected him
to be aggressive. Shaking it up.
Yeah, and I think it's going to come down to whether this is, you know, just Trump being Trump. And yes, maybe he was, you know, a little aggressive in the way he approaches personnel or the way he speaks. But I think ultimately, to his base, which, you know, is 63 million people who voted for him, I don't think they're going to care at all.
But if he does get impeached, if he does do these things, if this whole Stormy Daniels thing, which we have to discuss quickly, takes him down, and he does get impeached from office, his base is going to fight back, and it's going to be it's going to be Crazy Town in the United States of America.
No question.
Country change its name to Crazy Town legally? Legally.
But imagine his base going against the people that impeached him, Republican and Democrats alike. It's going to be riotous.
Yeah. I mean, I think that, I mean, listen, you guys are doing this every day. You have a pulse on what people think on these issues. You talk to people every day. Do you get the sense that his base is put off by this?
Nope.
I think that they're emboldened by it.
That's what we wanted him to do.
Exactly. And I think, you know, they look at, for example, him firing the Secretary of State, who gave up, you know, a career in the oil industry, one of the wealthiest men around, to serve his country. I think most people look at Trump firing him by Twitter as, sure, that's the way things ought to be.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. So I think in a normal time, maybe people would look at this and think it's nuts, but I think he's tapped into something in a large group of people who think, yeah, this is great. This is what we want.
Exactly what we were hoping for.
This is who we elected.
But what about the perception? If somebody's investigating you and you're making it difficult for them to do their job and you're doing your best to discredit them.
Or fire them.
In a normal world, that should not stick. I mean, no one should allow the president or anyone, to your point, who's being investigated, to go out on the offensive by criticizing those people and criticizing their wife. I mean, it's ridiculous, right?
Yeah.
But that's the new
world.
That's
how it is.
I mean, it doesn't seem to affect Trump at all. Right?
All right,
I mean,
Stormy Daniels, did they have an affair? Did they not have an affair? What's going to happen? Is this what's going to bring him down?
You know, they clearly had an affair. I don't think anyone, and, you know, quite pointedly, Trump hasn't denied that they had an affair. The question legally is whether, you know, she can talk about it, whether this agreement that they had to not discuss it, this non-disclosure agreement, is binding them.
Why isn't some rich person saying, I will pay all your fees for...
Well, people have come to her defense and have donated thousands and thousands of dollars to her defense.
She'll have plenty of opportunity to make that money back. Although it's a $20 million lawsuit, that's a lot of money. You know, the question is whether the...
Why doesn't Hillary give it to her to talk?
Right.
I'll pay your non-disclosure fees.
Right.
Just spill the beans, will ya?
Yeah, and again, it's, you know, it's an example of, I think, Trump just not being able to control himself. I mean, if he just, like, shut up about the whole thing and didn't say anything, same thing about McCabe. I mean, you know, McCabe was fired because he lied to the FBI Inspector General, the Department of Justice Inspector General, and because he leaked information, if you believe that. If Trump just sat back and let that sort of sink in, it probably wouldn't have been a big story. Instead, he goes after him.
Yeah,
and,
can't do
you know,
it.
Now it's... He emboldens all the Democrats against him. With Stormy Daniels, You know, there's lots of legal questions, whether because Trump didn't sign the agreement himself, whether it's enforceable, whether his, you know.
But his attorney may have signed it.
His attorney,
right?
Signed it. I mean, his attorney has come out and said that he denied the affair, right? I said earlier that no one's denied it. His attorney has denied it. I don't know how you spend $130,000 to keep someone quiet.
If it didn't happen?
It didn't happen. It makes right. no sense. It's laughable.
Right.
So, you know, I think it clearly happened. Stormy Daniels ultimately will tell her story.
Do we care that it happened? Be honest.
Well,
I don't care what he did. I care. I feel bad for Melania. I'm like, that's not cool for her. It shows that he's not a morally great person. But really, I don't care.
And I think most people, at least who support Trump, agree with you. I mean, I think Trump made no secret. If you listen to, you know, the Howard Stern tapes from years ago, he made no secret of the fact that he was a philanderer. He loved women. I mean, he's talked about women in the most degrading, you know, terms. We've all heard the Access Hollywood tapes. So that's who we elected, right, as a country. Not all of us, but...
But Rich, what you're saying right now is the reason I care, because the way we look globally to other countries, you know, for years you'd hear about this in some other country and you go, well, that's Bulgaria for
right.
you. But now it's here, you know. Now it's the way the world's looking at us going, their leaders having affairs.
Well,
with
Bill Clinton.
Stars.
Okay. Bill Clinton. And here's my question that we probably don't have time. I brought this up to Bill. Bill Clinton was impeached, but he didn't leave office. I don't get that. What is the, I mean, if someone's impeached, you take them out of office. Why wasn't Bill Clinton taken out of office?
Yeah. I mean, you know, they still didn't go through the process of removing him. Impeachment and removing the president are two separate things. Impeachment just is a legal term, meaning that you've been found guilty of certain crimes. It doesn't mean that
you're not the president anymore.
Yeah, they still have to vote and, you know, vote to remove you from office.
And they never did that vote with Bill Clinton?
Correct.
They
correct.
Did
it. Why?
Interesting. Because they didn't want to, because things were going well.
Yeah, I mean...
Right? They didn't want to screw things up. They wanted to formally say, we know what you did was bad, so you're being impeached. But then when it came to the next step, they went, yeah, but look at how the economy's thriving, everybody's happy.
Yeah.
Well, are they going to say that about Donald Trump?
I don't know. I think a lot of people are looking for some excuse to jump off that bandwagon, and this could be one of the excuses.
Yeah, I mean, I think if Mueller comes back and finds that Trump was personally engaged in obstruction of justice, that's a pretty big deal, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's different than lying about having an affair. Not that that's not, you know, material, but I think if Mueller has concrete evidence of Trump himself, not his campaign, of being involved in obstructing justice, I mean, I think most people would find that pretty offensive.
Yeah, yeah. So aside from Trump, there's been talk that one of his sons was involved in these talks and other people close to him. That doesn't come back to bite him?
I mean, you know, I mean, I think it does to an extent. You know, the more people around you that are guilty of things like obstruction, the worse it is, obviously. But
yeah.
I think most people, you know, would write that off. I think if it comes back on Trump's doorstep and he is found to affirmatively have obstructed justice or colluded with Russia. The thing is, though, you know, Mueller has wide-ranging investigative powers. I mean,
right.
Last week we saw him subpoena the records from the Trump Organization. Who knows where that's leading? I mean,
right.
He has the ability.
And who knows if they're getting the right information or if something's been whited out, you know?
Well, sure. You know,
I trust
too,
no
but,
one.
You know, maybe he's looking into Trump, you know, real estate deals from years ago. I mean, he has the right to go wherever the investigation leads him. While it started out as collusion, if he finds evidence of wrongdoing in real estate action or real estate transactions from the past, he could go after Trump on that basis alone.
It's the Al Capone.
Yeah,
news, right?
Exactly, Bill.
It's the same thing. Back to Stormy Daniels for just a second or two.
Is there something you'd like to tell us?
Yes. She's a great actress. She's really a fantastic
title
actress.
Title to one of her movies, by the way. Back to Stormy.
He was using a fake name. Donald Trump was using a fake name. Does this affect anything whatsoever? It doesn't, does it?
No, I mean, not really that
You could
part.
Have a lawsuit with somebody acting as a different...
Yeah,
too bad he didn't use Bill Leff as
the
fake name.
Yeah, that would have been great publicity for
know.
Me.
It's
darn
good,
it.
It's a good porn.
Man.
But yeah, I mean, you know, lots to still look into with the Stormy Daniels, investigation.
Can I quickly ask you, there has been talk. She did an interview with Anderson Cooper that's supposed to air on 60 Minutes, but I guess they're trying to block that from happening. can they block that from happening, or can 60 Minutes show it?
Again, it all comes down to, I mean, 60 Minutes can show it. It depends on whether they want to be a party to, you know, a lawsuit because of the non-disclosure agreement. So they might, you know, they certainly have deep pockets, and they have a history of doing things like that with, you know, Jeffrey Wigand's tobacco investigation years ago. Again, it comes down to whether this non-disclosure agreement is going to stick. It has so far, but I think the more people talk about it, the more money is being offered to her, the more we'll see her speak.
Do you know anything about this? I heard this on the news yesterday, that Trump's people want this in a court where nobody's allowed to discuss what happens within the court. Like, there's some court,
arbitration.
Yeah. There's some proceedings where you would play this out in court and people could take notes and say, here's what happened. But the Trump team doesn't want that to play that way.
Will
that happen?
It cuts both ways. I mean, Sarah Sanders last week said that Trump's already won this in arbitration. That's questionable whether that actually happened. You know, I think
against Stormy Daniels?
Yeah.
But so, didn't what she say kind of admit that it happened?
Yeah, I mean, well, it admitted that, I think everyone admits, it's hard not to admit that there was an agreement between, you know, Trump's lawyer and Stormy Daniels. So there's no question about that. Trump denies that the affair happened. Again, it goes back to, why would you pay someone have your attorney pay? And by the way, the attorney has said it's very common to pay these amounts on behalf of your,
an attorney. Has you ever done that?
I've never in 22 years paid a penny on behalf of a client.
Especially someone like Donald Trump, who has way more money than you do.
Yeah. I mean, it makes no sense. It's just clearly,
it really doesn't.
You know, a attempt by Trump to reach this goal without his name being associated with it.
Yeah. Wow.
Lots of stuff.
Right?
Crazy town. I'm telling you.
But there's never a dull moment. I was going to say a day off, but there's never a dull moment. There's
six more years of it.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to believe. That's just, you know, last week he fired a Secretary of State, and that got, you know, a day of play, and then this other stuff is just like an avalanche of additional.
Because nothing shocks anybody anymore.
In most administrations, you know, firing your Secretary of State, by the way, when you're leading up to talks with North Korea, would be a big deal, let alone doing it by Twitter. That got, you know, maybe one day of play, and now it's all back to the
I've heard people say that as bad as the Watergate scandal was in the 70s, it wouldn't make the top 10 of what's gone on with Donald Trump.
Yeah, it wouldn't even scratch the surface.
No.
I mean, anyone, you know, pick 30 or 35 different things that have gone on in the last 18 months or 24 months if you include, you know, some of the campaign. Yeah, I mean, any of that, for example, during the Obama administration would, you know, there'd be riots in the streets.
Yeah,
I mean, Nixon was nothing, I think, compared to this.
If there was even the smallest allegation that Barack Obama had an affair with a porn star, the country, if not the world, would walk around just going, wow, well, I don't know what
imagine
to
Obama,
think anymore.
I mean, imagine Obama mocking a reporter who's, you know, disabled or
yeah, but listen to what you're saying. These are one terrible thing that he would be accused of. When they're all together, nothing shocks you anymore.
Yeah, I guess.
It just doesn't. You're like, oh, that crazy Donald Trump.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Where can people hear you?
We're on Legal Face Off. Our next show is Friday on WGN. You could follow us on Twitter, Facebook, all social media. You could tune in on iTunes, wherever you hear podcasts.
Very good. Thanks, Richard.
Thanks, Richard.
Appreciate you being here. That's Rich Lankov, everybody. We'll take a quick break. Then we'll find out what's coming up on Sports Central. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.